Regime Sechta Zochim Daf Mem Vav, we will begin on Daf Mem Vav Amar Aleph, two lines from the top. The Gemara begins with quoting the Mishnah, that the Mishnah says, Chutz Min Adam, that there's no Chiyuv for eating Noiser, the eating Dam, the blood of a carbon, when it's Noiser or Tumah. Ask the Gemara Menana Milif, for where do we notice Halacha? Says the Gemara, this Gemara Mesechta Mila. The Gemara says, over there discusses how we know that there is no mi'ila when one has benefit from the dam of a carbon. And the Gemara over there explains that not only is there no chi mi'ila for eating the dam of a carbon, but says the Gemara, there also is no iser for noiser and tumah. Amar Ula, because the Gemara over there quotes Ula, who Amar Kro says the Pasuk that speaks about the Dam of Kabanis, and the Pasuk says, Kidam, Kinevish Habas Badam Huvanin Nosati Lachem Amzbeach Lachapa Al Nafshesechem, Ki Adam Hubenefesh Shechaper, Lachem means Shalachem Yehei, it belongs to you, it's not something that is subject to Mila. Mila, the whole concept behind Mila is that it belongs to the Hegdish. And since it belongs to Hegdish, that makes it us for us to have any benefit from it. But here, where the Torah says, Shalchem Yehei, the Torah is telling it it's yours. Furthermore, Rashi makes a very important point. All of the halachas, all the sources that we're going to be learning in our shir that exclude Mila by Dam, it's only before Zrikas Adam. But after the Zrikas Adam, so once the halacha is Nasas Mitzvah, so once whatever mitzvah that we're talking about, the mitzvah was done with it, there's no more Mila. So certainly after the Zrika, there would be no question that it's not subject to Mila. The discussion in our Gemara is strictly before the Zrikas Adam. There's also interesting machlokes achronim. When we say that there is no mila by dam, does it mean that there's no mila, but there is an isra hanoah? I saw it's machlokes achronim. The opinion of the Migdash David is that it's, even though there's no mila, it's also by hanoah. Whereas the opinion of the Gvura Sari is that it's mutter b'hanoah, that there's no issur at all regarding that dam. The Beir of Shmuel Tana, continues the Gemara, the Beir of Shmuel has a different source how we know that these halachas don't apply by the dam. Says the Gemara, the way we know it is Omer Kra, the Pasuk says, V'nina sati l'chem ha'mazbeich l'chaper, and so he explains that the way to understand this Pasuk is l'chapara Nusativ. The purpose of the dam, as we often discuss in our shurim, is to affect the kapara, v'loy l'mi'ila. But it's not there to be subject to hilchas me'ila. Rabbi Yochanan has a different way of learning this halacha. Says the Gemara, the pasuk says ke adam hu benefesh yichaper. Says the Gemara, who seems to say that it should be Lifnei kapara, before we do the Zrikas Adam, Klach kapara, it should be treated equally, equivalently, before the kapara and after the kapara. Ma la'acha kapara, as we just discussed, and we'll discuss further. After the Zrikas Adam, ain by me'ila, it's no longer subject to Hilchas me'ila, because, as we said, it's really Nasas Mitzvosai, and as we've been discussing, once it's Nasas Mitzvosai, it's not subject to Mila. Af lifnei kapara, the pasuk is coming to teach us that so will be the halacha even before the Zrikas Adam. Af lifnei kapara, even before the kapara, aim by Mila, it's not subject to Hilchas Mila. Ema, but ask the Gemara, who says to learn the pasuk that way? Maybe the way to learn the pasuk is lach kapara, lifnei kapara, that after the kapara it's treated like before the kapara, and we will understand malif ne kapara before the malif ne kapara, just like before the kapara yesh b'meila, it will be subject to hilchas meila. Af lach kapara, we'll learn from there that even after the kapara yesh b'meila, it's subject to hilchas meila, says the Gemara. That isn't an acceptable approach. And the reason it's not an acceptable approach is there's nothing that is already, that the mitzvah has already been done after the mitzvah, as we said before, with my alam boy, and it's to be subject to mila. Says the Mar Veloy, is that indeed the case? For a Trumas Hadeshim, every day as the day began, the Kohen would start with taking a kaimitz of ash off the Mizbeach, put it on the east side of the ramp leading up to the Mizbeach. And the halacha is that even though this ash has already been nasis mitzvosai, it's already been burnt, so it's already the mitzvah that we needed to do with it has been accomplished. The halacha is that it's also banor. So we see from here that even though nasis mitzvosai, it could still be subject to me'ila. The way Rashi explains the avoid of Trumas Hadeshin is that the Kohen would go to the top of the Mizbeach, fill up a shovel full of ash, which is the remnants of the carbon kabanas that were burned, and then he would put it on the floor of the Azara, on the east of the Keves, where it would get absorbed into the ground. And Rashi actually, Masechta Mila, explains that the reason there was this nes is that in order to avoid a problem of Mila, as we're discussing, it was immediately absorbed in the ground before anybody could have any benefit from it. Tysus says that if it was always absorbed in the ground, then there would be no room for discussion in our Gemara that is it or isn't it subject to Mila. Of course it's not subject to Mila. It doesn't exist. And Tysus, therefore, has a different approach. And Tysus' approach is that it ultimately was absorbed into the ground and not immediately. But the point of this Gemara is that we're learning that there's never Mila after the mitzvah was done. And here we just were able to prove that there is Mila after the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshin was already accomplished. Answers the Gemara, Mishum Dav, Trumas Hadeshin, or Big De Kuna. The halacha is that the Big De Kuhuna, that the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur, and the halacha is that there's Me'ila on those Big De Kuhuna, even though the mitzvah was already done. So now, says the Gemara, we have a very interesting situation. And that is, we have Shnei Ksuma Boim Kechot, we have two psukim that teach us the same halacha, and there's a rule in Shas, because Shnei if the Torah says the same halacha twice, what the Torah means to say is that only where this halacha is stated is that the halacha, nowhere else. And Rashi Masechet Kedushin explains, because if the Torah wanted that this halacha should serve as a model to other places, so that by teaching it through a binyan av, that the halacha stated in one place, that must be the halacha everywhere else, it would have been adequate for the Torah to say it once, and then we would learn from there for the rest of the Torah. The fact that the Torah felt the need to say this halacha more than once, what's the Torah mean to tell us? That where it's stated that this is the halacha, that is indeed the halacha, and where it's not stated, it's not stated. Tysus there, Masechet Kedushin, has a different approach. Tysus' approach is, because it's considered, when the same thing is stated twice, it's considered like a miut. And the miut is to teach us only here is so the halacha, not elsewhere. But ask the Gemara, hanich l'rabbanan, this would approach would be acceptable, according to Rabbanan the Amri, that they say that v'nicham sham alamed she'tun in geniza, that the halacha is that the big dekun at the Kohen war required to be put away. So indeed, why? Because we're concerned that they may come to be used and they would be subject to Mila. But ask the Gemara,
El Rav Daisa. Da'amar Meister saying Lekoin Matar saying Lekoin Hedjit, that the halach is that they may be used by the Kohen Hedjit. The only halach is Belach lo yishtamsh lo Yom Kippurim acher, that the Kohen Gadol may not wear it on the next Yom Kippur, but a Kohen Hedjit could wear it. So it's this halach is not teaching us anything about Meila. So question is, so we don't have Shnei Ksuvim, Michael Maimer. We'll only have the pasuk of Trumas Hadeshen, and from Trumas Hadeshen we should learn for Kol HaTorah Kula that even though the mitzvah has already been done, it's subject to Meila. So Chaim Sofer explains a very interesting point. He says we know that the Kohen Gadol all year long wore Shmoneh Begadim, 8 different Begadim, but on Yom Kippur he only wore one of the 4 big day lovin. Why was that? So of course the Gemara says because Enkatega Nasasa Neger and the other big day kahuna are made out of gold, and if the Kohen Gadol is going to go into the Kodesh Kedoshim wearing gold garments, which will be a reminder of the Egel, it doesn't belong to. It's inappropriate to be worn. But he takes a different approach. He says we know that the Halacha always tells us that the Torah Chasam Amanisha Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch is concerned about the expense that Klai Yisrael should try to avoid having. So explains the Chasam Sofer, the big day lovin' weren't that expensive. And given that the halach is the tun and geniza, so it's not so expensive to prepare for the Kohen Gadol another set of big day lovin'. But if the halach will be that every year after Yom Kippur, we're going to have to prepare a new set of big day zav, which are very expensive, Torah doesn't want us to have to spend that money. So therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, Torah says that the Kohen Gadol should only go in wearing the big day lovin, and that won't be so expensive to replace. So I saw that the Mefarshim tried to explain why is there a halacha of a Nicham Sham that the big day kuna of the Kohen Gadol that he wore in Yom Kippur, Tun and Geniza, they should be put away and not used again. What is wrong if they were to be used again? So I saw the Sfarim explain that what happens when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and if all of Klai Yisrael is expected to be doing tshuva as they enter the base, as Yom Kippur comes, certainly the Kohen Gadol who's standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, there's an expectation he's going to do tshuva. The Rambam and the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva speaks about Vecha B'darkei Tshuva Hu Shinei Hashem. One of the ways that tshuva is accomplished is with changing the name. What does it mean, changing the name? Is that what's important? So explains the Rambam. And the Acher Ve'eni Oisa Ish Sha'asa Oisa Masim. A person who does tshuva is declaring, I'm not the same person who did those averis. The person who does tshuva becomes an entirely different person. And that's what happens when the Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If the Kohen Gadol is going to wear next year the same begadim that he wore last year, what he is essentially saying is that I'm still the same person, which is contrary to the whole concept that tshuva represents. That's why the halacha, according to one opinion, as we just learned, is that the big day kuna that the Kohen Gadol wore last year, he should not wear this year, says the Gemara. But again, according to the opinion that you could wear it again, so we're back to where we started, Michael Amema, we only have one pasuk, and since we only have one pasuk, maybe the halacha ought to be that a Kohen Gadol, the main halach is that even if the mitzvah was already done, it's subject to Mila. Answers the Gemara, there's another halacha. The halacha is that we know that the Torah teaches us that if somebody is found, a corpse is found, and we don't know who killed that person, the halacha is that we measure which is the closest city, and whichever city is the closest city to that corpse, the zikne yoseir, the elders of that city, bring an Egla Rufa, they decapitate an Egla Rufa. And the Torah teaches us that even after the Egla is decapitated, it's still subject to Me'ila. Rashi says that it's real Me'ila. So we see that even though it's Nasas Mitzvasai, it's subject to Me'ila. So now we're going to have again a situation of Shnei Ksum Abom Kechad, two Psukim that teach us the identical Halacha, that even though Nasas Mitzvasai, it's subject to Mila, and then we'll relearn the concept that we learned a few moments ago, that Koshnei Ksum Echad Eimelamdim. But ask the Gemara, this is actually a question in Shas. According to the opinion that once you have two psukim teaching us the same halacha, what the Torah is teaching us is that only here is that the halacha, nowhere else. Fantastic. But ask the Gemara, melamdim, according to the opinion that even if you have two psukim, melamdim, we could still learn it, we could learn from there to other places. So therefore, we'll say that the halacha of Trumas Hadesh and Egla Rufa are not unique. We can learn from there for Kala Tara Kula that even though Nasas Mitzvasai, it's subject to Mila. So if that's the case, maybe we should learn that that too is the halacha by Dam. So the Gemara just taught us that there's a machlokes throughout Shas. If something that's taught twice is subject to the halacha Shnei Ksum Abom Kechad Eimelamdim or not. Why is what we said earlier as the Sefer Krisis Arishin not the case? We learned earlier that Rashi explained the fact that the Torah said something twice is clearly an indication that only where the Torah says that's the halacha is that the halacha, nowhere else. So why would somebody disagree with that? So he says that just like we find many places in Shas, the Milsa, the Asib Kal V'Chomer, something that is learned through a Kal V'Chomer, Tarach V'Kosel Okra, the Torah sometimes spells it out. So too does this opinion hold that the Torah said it twice. Why did the Torah tell it to us twice? To teach it to us, even though it wasn't necessary. The Sefer Halichas Olam takes a different approach. It takes a much simpler approach. His approach is that the Torah is very careful not to say anything too many times. But his approach is that according to this opinion, saying it twice is not considered saying it that many times. But saying it three times is already considered too much. Answers the Gemara, here, it's different than just Shnei Ksuv Mabayim Ke'echad Lamali. Tre Mi'utik Suvi, the two explicit Pasukim. Haksiv, the Torah, instead of saying Egla Arufa, says the word Ha'arufa. And by Trumas Hadeshin, the Pasuk says V'samai. The Pasuk says V'samai Eitzel Mizbeach, and the Torah could have just said V'sam. So what that means to teach us is that the Torah is teaching us, as it teaches us these halachas, that only here where the Torah says that this is the halacha, that even though Nasas Mitzvasai, there's Me'ila, the Torah is trying to teach us, here is that where I tell you that so is the halacha, so is the halacha. And where we don't say that so is the halacha, then the halacha is not that way. But as we began our shir, the Gemara brought different drushes, Lechem, Lechaper, Vahu, all sorts of different drushes to teach us the same lesson that there is no Me'ila by Dam. And the Gemara asked, therefore, Tlosa Kroy B'Dam Lomeli, why do we need three psukim to teach us the same lesson that there's no Me'ila B'Dam? Answers the Gemara, Namute, to teach us that the Dam of a carbon is not subject to Me'ila, the Dam of the carbon is not subject to Noiser, and the Dam of the carbon is not subject to Tumah. So Tosis asks, why would we need a pasuk to exclude dam from Noiser v'Tameh? Don't we have a halacha throughout Shas? Dayin is a chalalisser. And therefore, since this is dam, and we know that there's an issa to eat dam, why do we need a new pasuk to tell us these halachas? So Kivegin Shagas Aryeh answers to tell us that what would be the halacha if the dam was cooked? The issa midaraisa of eating dam, does not apply to cook dam. And that's why the pasuk here is telling us that even dam mevushel of a carbon, we would think maybe should be subject to pigel nois v'tamei, and we're learning that it's not. Rav Chaim Briska answers that the pasuk says l'chapar nesatav loyla dava acher, so we would think that the halacha is that indeed Rav Chaim suggests that since dam mevushel, says Rav Chaim, can actually not be used for zrikas adam, so he says that the dam mevushel is subject to me'ila. And therefore he says that why do we need a pasuk? Because the halacha is that since dam is not subject to, nobody thinks about dam to eat it, and therefore, since it's not really that edible, we would say that the nois of a tumah, the halach is that maybe dam that's korish, he says maybe dam that's congealed, which is not royal azrika, should be subject to these halachas. That's why we have to have a pasuk to say it doesn't apply. But says the Gemara, but we don't need to have a pasuk, tells us the Gemara, our pigaloi tzarakra. We don't need a pasuk to exclude dam from Hilchas Pigel. And the reason we don't need to have a pasuk to exclude dam from Hilchas Pigel, because of our halacha that we learned back already on Daf Mem Gimel in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kol sheyesh lematirim, bein la'odim bein l'mizbeach. What type of part of the carbon is subject to Pigel? Something that something else makes it mutter. For dam gufei, the dam is what makes the rest of the carbon mutter, but the dam itself doesn't have anything that makes it mutter, and therefore it's not subject to pigel. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we just learned that there are three drashas to teach us about dam. So the Gemara teaches us that there's another place that the Torah speaks about the same halacha three different times. And that's regarding somebody who eats a carbon shlomim when he's tamei. Torah HaKadosh says, Emelahem l'dari seichem, kol ish ashik mikol zarechem as kadoshim ishigdishim bnei Yisrael Hashem, v'tumos alav v'nikrasa nefesh v'fanei ni Hashem. Somebody who's tamei eats karbonis or v'chayiv karis. There's another pasuk that says, v'nefesh ashtakim p'sar v'asim izavach ashlom Hashem, v'tumos alav v'nikrasa nefesh imamel. There's a third pasuk that says v'nefshki siga b'chol tamei b'tumas adam behemet tamei or b'chol sheretz tamei v'ochem apsa zavach hashlom mashal Hashem v'nechres nefshihi ma'meha. Says the Gemara shloish yikris b'shlom malama. Why was it necessary to tell us this halacha three times? Answers the Gemara, because the way to understand these psukim to say that we should learn these psukim achas leklal, that to say that we know that the Torah says that kol davishayi meklal, if something was part of a group for yotzman aklal, then it was extracted from the group. Loy lelamed al atzma yotza. It's not here just to teach about itself. Al lelamed kula yotza. So if the Torah put the carbon shlomim together with all the other kabbadas, as the pasuk says, "Kol ish ashiyakim mikol zarechem al kadosh v'tumasa olav v'nikrasa." So that's a klal, and that klal is teaching us that by all kachim, there's a chiv of eating karas b'tumah, including the carbon shlomim. But then the Torah spoke about the carbon shlomim separately, because the pasuk says, "V'nefesh shtachim b'asim b'zevach ashlom ashel Hashem v'tumasa v'nikrasa." So the fact that the Torah extracted the loch of tumah b'ashlomim, so the pasuk is trying to teach us that's talking about shlomim, which are kachim is beach, and therefore only kachim, which are similar to carbon shlomim. And what is the category of carbon shlomim? Kachim is beach. There is their halacha. If somebody eats it, rachman shlom, when he's tamei, he's chayiv karis. But if somebody were to eat kachim by the kabayis, when he is tamei, there wouldn't be chayiv karis. And then the pasuk that says karis to teach us the Dvarim She'en in the Cholim, that you have things that are put on the Mizbeach, that even though they're Kachi Mizbeach, but they're not really edible. And the Torah is teaching us that anything that's put on the Mizbeach, even though it's not edible, Eitzim, Levoina, Ketiris, is subject to the Isser that somebody who's Tamei may not eat it. Well, Rav Shimon asked the Gemara, Dama Dvarim She'en in the Cholim, Ein Achayev L'Mishim Tama. But Rav Shimon actually says that if something is not edible and it's put on the Mizbeach, then the Halacha, actually, he says, it's not going to be Chayev Koros. So now we have a question, L'suye Mai, what is this Pasuk coming to teach us? And it says, the Gemara, according to him, L'suye, Chatas Apnimis, that the Chatas that we bring, that we spoke many times, that the dam is put on the Mizbeach Apnimi, they are subject that you may not eat them when you tumah. Kosakadat chamina however Rav Shimon koshes rikas en al mizbeach achitzin koshes rika en al mizbeach achitz kishlamim. That we would think that he taught us on daf mem gimel that any carbon that doesn't have his rikas adam and mizbeach achitzin en chayav al mishum pigol, there is no chiv pigol. So we would perhaps consider that so is the halacha mishum tamanami lemechayev kamash malon, that even though it's not subject to pigel, it is subject that if somebody eats it when he's tummy, he's going to be chayiv karis. We learned in the Mishnah, Nami Rav Shimon, mechayiv as shadar kalach. Rav Shimon disagrees with the Tarakama, and he holds you're not chayiv tuma on things that are not edible. Says the Gemara, there's a machloikis tan amaroyim, how to understand the machloikis tanoim of our Mishnah. There are two halachas. One is that somebody's not allowed to eat kachin when he is tamei. And as we just learned, if somebody were chas v'sham to do so, he's chayiv karis. And then there's another halacha that somebody who's tohor may not eat kachin which are tamei. As the pasuk says, v'abasa shiyiga b'chol tamei lo yachal. If the meat of the carbon became tamei, it may not be eaten by anyone. Beishi sarf, it must be burnt. Begins the Gemara Itmar of Yochanan Reish Lakish. There's a machloikis in this subject, and continues the Gemara in saying, Rav Elazar of Yosef Rav Chanina also disagree in this subject and say Chad mehayzuz v'chad mehayzuzah. Each one from each pair hold one opinion, and one from each pair hold a different opinion. So says the Gemara Chad Omer, one of each pair holds the machloikis that we just had of the Chachamim Shimon. If you chayiv for tuma by food that's not edible, it's only b'tumas basar that the meat got tame. The Chachamim say that the halacha is no matter what it is, if something became tame, that's kodesh may not be eaten, and because the pasuk says veha basar avo. To teach us that even eitz melvoina, which are not edible, the halacha is if somebody eats them when their tummy is chayiv karis. Avo b'tumas haguf, if somebody, that's where we have the machlokes chamrim shimon. Avo b'tumas haguf, regarding the person who's tummy, ledivar akol ena loika, everybody will agree that you won't get malchus if you're tummy for eating eitz melvoina. Because in the pasuk that speaks that we just read, that speaks about somebody eating, somebody tamei eating kachim, there is no special ribui, and therefore the Chama will agree it doesn't apply to itzim levoinam. V'it v'chad amar, and one amayra from each of these pairs holds, k'machloikis v'zeh k'ach machloikis v'zu, the same machloikis that we have between Chama and Shimon, when somebody tamei eating kachim, if it applies to non-edible kachim, we'll have the same achlokes the other way around. If the thing is tamei, is there a chiyuv karis? My tama, what is the reason of the chachamim? It says the Gemara, given the Karina Bay, since when we speak about somebody tamei eating it, the pasuk says v'shibasa yishiyigaba b'chol tamei. Karina Bay, similarly we say, the same pasuk with Tumasa Olav, that pasuk is coming to teach us that when you're tummy, you're not allowed to eat any of these things. And since the Chachamah hold the eating basar kodesh that's tamei includes something that's not edible, they're going to say that the same applies when you are tamei, because the two psukim appear next to each other. That's the Pashup Shad in the Gemara. And according to the Pashup Shad in the Gemara, the way Rashi learns, the Machlaika says, when is there going to be a Chiyuv Karas and when won't there be a Chiyuv Karas? And the Chum say there's always going to be a Chiyuv. According to this opinion, the Chum always say there's a Chiyuv Karas. Taisus has somewhat of a different approach. And Taisus' approach is that for eating it when you are Tamei, there's only nobody will hold that ever be more than a Chiyuv Malkus. But that's, says the Gemara of Tumyumi Masni Hachi, that's the way Rav Tumyumi learned this Gemara. However, says the Gemara of Kahana Masnacher, Rav Kahana learned differently. He says, again, he starts with the two pairs. Echad Mahai Zuz, Echad Mahai Zuz, and one of each pair says, a Sefer, that Rav Shimon at the end of the Mishnah said, says, Chara Omer Machloikis, that the Machloikis of Shimon Chachamim is the Tumas Aguf, where the person is Tamei. Is there going to be, but it's not edible? Ava b'tumas basar, where the basar became tamei, the rehaka loika, everybody will agree that there's malchus even on something which is not edible. So we have two different versions. We have two very different versions of this machlokes. Amar Rava. So Rava says, in commenting on these two different versions, that Rav Shimon and the Rabbanon are arguing by both situations, whether you're Tamei or the Kachma Tamei. My Tama, says the Gemara, what's the reason that is more likely to be the Pshat? Says the Gemara, Kim de Loi Karina Boy, according to Rav Shimon, we can't say when the Pasuk of the Nefesh Shetochel Basam Zevach Hashlamim Tumasol HaNechmasa, that's referring to something that's not edible. Like Karina Bay, similarly, when the Pasuk of the Basa Shiga B'chol Tameh L'yachol, whatever is the definition in one place, the same definition in the other place. So if in the first Pasuk, it doesn't mean something non-edible, in the second Pasuk, it also doesn't mean something non-edible. Says the Gemara, but what are we going to do with the Pasuk, according to Rav Shimon, that says the extra Veha Basar, that Rav Shimon learns from that Pasuk, L'rabbis Eitzim Levina. So what will Rav Shimon, that are clearly unedible. So what will Rav Shimon ask the Gemara do? What will Rav Shimon do with that Pasuk? Answers the Gemara, L'psula ba'alma, to teach us that even though there is no Malkus for eating them, but still the Aloch is to teach us that it's a psula, that it's an asmachta ba'alma, the way Rashi explains. And it's an asmachta ba'alma, and actually it's a machlokes rishonim. Rashi said it's an asmachta ba'alma, and it's only a derabbanan. Other rishonim say it's going to be an issa deraisa, but not carry with it an einish malchus or karis. Says the Gemara l'shem shisha devarim hazavach nizbach. When somebody shechs a carbon, he should have the following things in mind. Even though, point out the rishonim, that when the Mishnah says L'shem Shish Dvar Mazavach Nismach, it's talking about the Shechit of the carbon. But most Rishonim, as we're going to see in the Gemara, explain that it's not limited to the Shechita. The halacha is that all of the steps that are involved in bringing a carbon have to have these Machshava. The reason the Mishnah says, by the reason the Mishnah singles out the Zvicha, because as we began the Masechta, when we spoke about Lishma, in Lishma, there is a Machloikis where the Shloi Lishma disqualification kicks in. And some suggest that it doesn't apply in all the cases, in all the steps of a carbon. That's why by Shchit it certainly applies, and that's why the Mishnah stuck to speaking about Shechita. There's a machloikus achroinim, if this, that the Mishnah is teaching us that you should have, that this machshava, is this a mitzvah deraisa or derabbanan? The opinion of the Karen Oira is that it's only Chiv Derabbanan. On the other hand, I saw that the opinion of the Gvur Sari is that it's a Chiv Daraisa. So again, L'shem Shishadvarim Zavach Nizbach, L'shem Zavach, we have to bring the carbon with having in mind that specific carbon, not a different carbon. L'shem Zaveach, we have to know who is the person that's bringing the carbon. L'shem Hashem, we have to bring the carbon L'shem Hashem, L'shem Ishem, that we should have in mind that it should be burnt on the Mizbeach. L'shem Reach, that should give off a fragrance. L'shem Nechayach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should enjoy that fragrance. The halacha of L'shem Zaveach means we have to know who is the person that's bringing the L'shem Zaveach, for whom the carbon is bringing. We learned, however, earlier in the Masechta, the halacha of Shinui Bailim, that if you had in mind somebody else, it's only by Zrika. The halacha is, we learned that by any of the other avoiders, Shinui Bailim is not an issue. Says the Karen Oira that, as we said a few moments ago, when we're speaking about the Shechita, there's a new din, the Karen Oira is L'shitasoi, that there's a special din, the Rabbanon, that even though it doesn't disqualify the carbon, one should have in mind when he's bringing the carbon, when he's shechting the carbon, who he's having in mind. The Mishnah said, L'shem Hashem. What's the difference between L'shem Hashem and L'shem Reich Nechayach? So I saw that the Mefarshim grapple with this question. And the Mefarshim suggest, L'shem Hashem means that you should bring the carbon, L'shem Hashem, is the shame that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to bring the carbon. L'shem Nechayach takes us a step higher. L'shem Nechayach means that you should have in mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have hana, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have pleasure from what we are doing. The Chatos Asham, and when we bring a carbon, Chatos or carbon Asham, as we learned, the halacha is that it should be brought L'shem Chet, that we should know for which Avera it's being brought. Going back to a subject that we also learned at the beginning of Masechta, Daf Tes, the question, the L'chatchili, you should know which Avera it's being brought from. We had a discussion, if you bring a Chabachatas with having in mind one Avera, and it was brought for a different Avera, what would be the halacha? But now says Rabbi Yossi, even if you didn't have any of these intentions of mine, still the carbon is kosher. Shekeinu Tanai Bezdin, the halacha is that that's a Tanai Bezdin, that the carbon, if it's brought stoma, it's fine. Because, he says further, because we're concerned, the way most Rishonim learn what Rav Yossi says, that if you're going to bring the carbon if you're going to start having intention, you may end up having the wrong intention. And therefore, the best is that they have no intention. Sure, and even if the owners have machshava, and machshava halach al chavid, we only look at the machshava of the kohen, according to Rabbi Yossi, the machshava of the owner of the carbon is insignificant. Rashi, as we said, explains that you're supposed to have these six machshavas, and Rabbi Yossi says that it's better not to have any of the machshavas, because if you're going to have the machshava, you may end up having the wrong machshava. The Rambam has a different approach in understanding Rabbi Yossi. The Rambam explains that what Rabbi Yossi is teaching us is that only the kohen, that according to Rambam, Tanakama holds that both the kohen and the owner of the carbon should have these six machshavas, and Rabbi Yossi holds that only the kohen should have this machshava, but anybody else should. The oivah doesn't have to have any kavana. According to Rashi, there's a fundamental question which many achroinim ask. The halacha is mitzvah tzrichas kavana. And the one that says in Gantz Shas, the mitzvah tzrichus kavanah is actually Rabbi Yossi. So how come over here Rabbi Yossi says you don't have to have a lishma? So he says, the Karen Oire answers, that by all mitzvahs, there are circumstances where the mitzvah that we're doing can be done not l'shem mitzvah. Somebody could eat matzah because he wants to eat matzah, not l'shem mitzvah. So the only way to turn the eating of the matzah into a mitzvah is by having the machshava tzriches kavana. But a carbon, by very definition, is something that's brought l'shem shemayim. A carbon which is only brought l'shem shemayim, it's automatically mitzvah tzriches kavana. The Birkas Shmuel says that the concept of our Mishnah and the concept of the mitzvah tzriches kavana are two very different concepts. The Birkas Shmuel says that of course mitzvah tzriches kavana has to have kavana l'shem the mitzvah. Otherwise it's not a mitzvah. But here we're speaking about a higher level kavana. And since it's a higher level kavana, the halacha is that the carbon cannot, then that's the machloikis, if that's the carbon that can be brought or not. I saw that many achronim discuss that since, certainly according to the Tanakhama, these are the kavanas that you're supposed to have, l'reich, nichayach, and the pasuk says, when Klai Yisrael is in Golus, so there's no reich nechayach. So the question is that how is there a question of bringing a carbon bezman hazeh when there's no possibility of lo reich es reich nechayachem? So I saw that the only carbon that there would ever be a question that could be brought bezman hachorban when there's no reich nechayach is only when we have is the Karban Pesach. The Karban Pesach is not brought l'reich nechayach, and therefore by the Karban Pesach, perhaps it could be brought, even though there's no possibility for reich nechayach. The Sefer Erech Yeshua says that we know Aaron HaKohen is known as the Ish HaShalom, and the word Shalom stands for Kol Masecha L'Shem Shemayim, and therefore he explains that's what our Mishnah is teaching us. That when a person brings a carbon, the carbon is supposed to be with all of these kavana, that it should be l'shem shemayim. The Michas Elazar in his Sefer Divrei Torah discusses the question that we asked: why is it say l'shem Hashem and l'shem nichayach? What's the difference? So he said l'shem Hashem that comes to teach us that we have to believe as we bring a carbon that there's only one Hashem. After we accept that there's only one Hashem, the next step is that we want to bring the carbon l'shem reich nechayach. The Tver Shleima says that the Mishnah ended with Rabbi Yossi teaching us Eina machshava halachas elach ha'ovid. So he says that the only one that counts is the Kohen Gadol, as he brings the carbon. So he tries to explain why indeed is that the case. So he says that when somebody is bringing a carbon, it's very difficult. There's a real Yetzirah, Satan, who's trying to make the carbon should not be done right. The Kohen, who's on the higher level, he is the individual who could have the proper kavana. But anyone else, we can't be comfortable. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi teaches us that the only one should have kavana is the Kohen. The Sefer Shevet Yehuda says that this Mishnah is a very important Mishnah. And he says that every day before davening, he says, one should say this Mishnah and it will help that the tefillah should be accepted. Then I saw that the Sefer Eretz Chaim quotes the Arizal that not only before davening should one say this Mishnah, but also before one begins to learn, before one goes to sleep, before one says Birchas HaMitzvah, when one is going on a trip. This Mishnah is a very, very powerful mitzvah. I saw, as we just mentioned, the Michas HaLazar. The Michas HaLazar's minig was that every day between Mincha Ma'ariv, and he finished davening Mincha, and he was waiting to daven Ma'ariv, he would say this Mishnah, because this is a Mishnah that is incredibly important for us to remember. It says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Oila, the pasuk says the hikter koyin as a column is becha oila ishirek nechayek l'shem oila, to teach us l'shem oila, the carbon should be brought l'shem oila l'fuk l'shem shlomim. Don't have a mind, don't bring in a mind a different carbon. Isha l'shem isha l'fuk l'kavav adalah. It should be burnt. It should be brought with the intention that the mizbeach is going to consume the carbon. L'shem reyach, l'fuke evarim, shetzol v'helon. One should not bring on the mizbeach parts of the animal that were already roasted and then put on the mizbeach. Then it won't give off a pleasant smell. Damar Yehuda Amar Rav, evarim shetzolim, if you pre-roast the parts of the carbon and then helon and then put them on the mizbeach, emishim reyach, they don't give off a proper fragrance. Nichayach l'shem anochas ruach, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should be satisfied l'shem, and as we said a few moments ago, the kavana by l'shem, the halacha is that you should have l'shem misham of ayolim, that the carbon should be brought l'shem avarim. There's a machloikis achroinim I saw. What's going to be the halacha if somebody did pre-roast the karbonos this and put it on the mizbeach? The Tashbat says that they become posel. The Chazanish says that you shouldn't do it, but la halacha is that if you did it, it's maybe put on the mizbeach. Says the Michas Chinuch, but we know that the halacha is maliach tereseach. By salting something, it's like roasting it. So the question is, how can we salt the organs that we're going to put on the mizbeach before we put it on the mizbeach? It's going to be like a tzolon. And we're learning now that tzolon we're not supposed to put on the mizbeach. So the simple answer is what the Chasam Sofer says. The Chasam Sofer says that if the Torah tells us to salt it, so there's no room for us to ask questions, how are we salting it when there's a problem with tzolon? There's no problem with tzolon if the Torah tells us to do so. But then I saw that the Marasham says that even though there's a concept in halacha, a meliach kriseach, that salting is equivalent to roasting. Meliach kriseach is that in certain halachas, issa v'heter, salting is equivalent to roasting. But that doesn't mean that salting and roasting is exactly the same. And of course, salting and roasting are not exactly the same. And therefore, as far as this halach is concerned, you could salt it and then put it on the mizbeach. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, chatas shok l'shem oila. If somebody brings a chatas for oila psula, but if he had in mind a different carbon, but if he had in mind chulin k'shera, Amar Belozer my tam de Rav, says Amar, because the pasuk says, v'loi chalu is kachim bnei Yisroel, and here we learn, kachim chalim kachim, bringing a carbon for a different type of carbon is an issue. And the Rishonim remind us of a Gemara that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Gimel. The Minoy Machriv, if it's in the same category of what we're bringing, it has the ability to cause an issue, and a Mina and a Machriv. Masa Rava asked Rava, the Mishnah told us, Rabbi Yosef, Ab Mishloi Hayi Beli Bel Shem Echvi Kolel Kosher Shutanei Bezdin. Says the Gemara, what do we learn from Rabbi Yossi's statement? Tamish lo haya liba klal, haya ba libai l'shem chulin. Only because you don't think anything. And as we learned, Rabbi Yossi actually prefers that you don't have anything in mind. But it seems that Rabbi Yossi is saying that if you have in mind anything else, even chulin would be possible. Amalei Abaye, so Abaye answers, Dilma lo haya klal kosher. This way to explain Rabbi Yossi. If you shechted the carbon without any machshava. Klal, then the kosher is kosher meratza. Not that it will be possible, but ain't a meratza, as we discussed at the beginning, at the Masechta, we're gonna learn, as we learned at the beginning in the Masechta, that the carbon is not possible, but you don't get credit for it. I saw that the Sefer Pei Yisrael explains the what. How do we understand the statement that kachim mechalim kachim vechulim mechalim kachim? So I saw that he explains that it's much worse when a tzaddik does an avera than when a rosh does an avera. Kachim, if somebody who's a holy person does something wrong, mechal kachim, that is considered something of significance. Vechulim, but if the person who did something wrong did it, it doesn't have the same power. Ein chulim mechalim kachim, and therefore Allah, under those circumstances, will be, at least according to one opinion, that the carbon is still kosher.